WK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. CBS News has obtained a Department of Homeland Security bulletin that warns domestic and foreign terrorists may be targeting the nation's energy infrastructure. Details on that from CBS's Nicole Skanga.
The energy grid is a vulnerable and expansive U.S. critical infrastructure sector that is easy to target. There are a range of threats that are listed in this bulletin, including cyber criminals with ransomware attacks and state actors, but most notably, domestic violent extremists are the most prevalent physical threat actors targeting energy electrical substations. They're sharing tactics online.
A major university in New York City is bowing to demands from the Trump administration. More on that from CBS News New York reporter Derek Waller.
Columbia's interim president, Katrina Armstrong, issued a campus-wide letter announcing changes that closely mirror demands made in this March 13th letter from the Trump administration. The federal government demanded the university place the Department of Middle East, South Asia, and African Studies under academic receivership. They also called for a mask ban and for Columbia to empower internal law enforcement.
The administration had threatened to withhold $400 million in federal grants and funds. A two-time former heavyweight boxing champ who turned a crushing defeat into victory that transcended boxing has died.
Foreman wrested the heavyweight championship away from Joe Frazier in a 1973 upset, only to lose it in 1974 in Zaire to Muhammad Ali in the Rumble in the Jungle.
I thought my life was over, because when you lose a championship, it's not like you lost a title. You lose yourself, because it's like you're not a man anymore.
He went through 2 years of the deepest depression.
Writer and boxing fan Norman Mailer.
He almost didn't come out of it.
But he did come out of it a different man and reclaimed the title 20 years later at age 45.
Second time around, I was so happy about so many things. It made for a better athlete.
Family man, preacher, entrepreneur George Foreman was 76. Michael Toscano, CBS News.
Friday was the last day on the job for employees of the U.S.-funded Radio Free Asia, created after the 1989 Tiananmen massacre in Beijing. CBS's Margaret Brennan spoke with RFA President Bei Fang.
Congress created us with an eye to giving people in China and other authoritarian countries around Asia the ability to have free press.
So bringing free speech to places where free speech is prohibited.
Exactly.
At least 8 RFA journalists could be forced to leave the U.S. if they lose their work visas. London's busy Heathrow Airport is now fully operational after a nearby fire shut it down.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy is joining forces with Elon Musk and his new government department to cut 10,000 jobs at the U.S. Postal Service. But staff are pushing back. Nadia Ramlagan reports.
American Postal Workers Union President Mark Diamonstein says older adults, veterans, and others depend on the service's commitment to deliver mail to everyone, regardless of where they live, noting the Postal Service delivers to every address in the country, 169 million addresses, and 318 million pieces of mail every day.
Part of the effort on Thursday is to make the postal customers around the country fully aware of this threat, to what belongs to them.
In a letter to Congress, DeJoy said the agency needs help with lease renewals on its retail centers and tackling the issue of counterfeit postage. The Trump administration has also floated the idea of privatizing the post office. Supporters argue the change would make the Postal Service run more efficiently and save money. Polling from the Pew Research Center finds 72% of Americans have a favorable view of the Postal Service. Local unions in Kentucky are participating in a National Day of Action tomorrow. Diamonstein explains that more than 5 decades ago, postal workers won collective bargaining rights. He says the union is prepared to fight back on any attempt to weaken union rights or target worker protections and working conditions.
It's also very important, I think, for the public to be reminded that good living wage jobs help our communities. They help make them stronger. That good jobs turn over in the community to restaurants, to small retail stores, to housing.
According to the APWU, privatization would eliminate more than 600,000 living wage union jobs, including those of more than 70,000 military veterans.
That's Nadia Ramlagan. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice start to the weekend. A bit of a different finish, though. Mostly sunny today with highs in the mid-30s. For tonight, increasing clouds, lows in the upper 20s. Becoming breezy on Sunday with rain developing, possibly mixed with some snow in the morning. High temperatures in the upper 40s. Right now, it's 30.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we will take a look at our NCAA basketball brackets after weekend number one. Also, the news of the weekend. Get you caught up. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, hit me, cut it, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. A kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Heck yeah, we're awake. And hey, we have our friend, Dr. Stately, who's president and executive officer at Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we got a lot to talk about. Great to see you, Dr. Stately.
Bonjour. How are you?
Doing good, you know, putting one foot in front of the other. I was at the Capitol today doing some testifying about mascots, and it was a good time to be had to all. Ho-wa.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's things going on, Dr. Stately. I mean, the Congress and the House members.
There are so many things going on. It's crazy.
Can we let our people know what's going on, especially with the medical end?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that I wanted to draw everybody's attention to is like what's going on in Congress right now. And both the House and the Senate around, you know, the efforts to make significant, massive cuts in Medicaid and Medicare, which I think will really have a very big impact on, you know, all Indigenous communities. Many of them sort of rely on Medicaid and Medicare support to deliver critical healthcare services to their communities, whether they're on tribal lands or in their urban areas like where I work, Minneapolis. But I think the other thing that's really scary and frightening about this thing is, like, I saw an alert earlier today, like 880 million dollars, or no, is that billion dollars?
That's billion.
Yeah, billion. $880 billion projected. Efforts to cut, to save, you know, and reduce the debt load that the United States has, you know, of course they're not going to slash it over, you know, out of 1 year. This is over like, you know, several years, right? And it's over like a, you know, 10-year period. But, you know, this is like, so what's happening here is that the, you know, the Republican Party, who currently controls the House, the Senate, and also the administrative branch, are all trying to give very rich people, you know, tax breaks and tax cuts, and they plan to, you know, finance that on the by doing these kinds of things, cutting Medicaid and Medicare. And I think it's really important that one of the things I think that is kind of befuddling to me, actually, that I just don't really seem to understand, which is that, you know, the constituents that put him into office probably are going to be harmed by that significantly as well, tremendously, right?
Right.
And, you know, those poor communities, those communities that are part of the, you know, the Green Belt, the middle, you know, the Dust Bowl, the whole, like, you know, all the way into, like, you know, the southern states, like, they are going to, you know, they have a lot of old people. Florida, like, what are all those, you know, Florida's like 60-70%, maybe greater, elders. Like, what are they going to do when they can't have, can't get their health care through Medicare? And I think so part of it is baffling to me, this idea that they're proposing these things, because it'll significantly impact, you know, this is not a partisan issue, this is a human issue, this is like, you know, all human beings who don't have access to good health care, who can't afford private insurance, who can't afford health care services that other people who are in the upper middle class, upper class, and, you know, the oligarchs that are running around here doing all this crazy business, trying to slash and save money. What's really interesting is, I don't know if you've been tracking, like, you know, the Doge website, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And their receipts.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody else, but I mean, I'm going to just kind of drill it down here. Like, you know, if I came home from the store after buying a loaf of bread and I gave my mother a receipt that said, you know, or, you know, show me the coupon you used to save $10 off that loaf of bread. And we only had to pay a nickel for it.
Right.
Well, that's more like eggs. Eggs is a good analogy here, because eggs will be about $10 a dozen here soon.
Right.
You know, that is just not, that's like napkin math. That's not even real math.
Right.
And it's not money we're saving today. It's money that we're saving in 5 years and in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's money. And it's not even the largest part of the budget, actually. You know, the reason they have to slash and cut Medicare and Medicaid is because, and Social Security is next.
Right.
Is because those are the lion's share of our budgets, the federal government budgets. It's not, you know, the FFA, and it's not, you know, the CDC or NIH. Those are little teeny tiny budget numbers, right? Like less than 1-4% of the budget, or less than that collectively, right?
Yeah.
But they don't want to cut the military budget, and they don't want to rein in military spending. They don't want to rein in those kinds of things. They want to make big tax breaks for people who are already very super wealthy, don't pay enough taxes anyway, when giving more tax breaks. And it's just crazy making.
Like, yeah.
And you know, none of the promises he made is he coming good on. He's like, none of them.
No
mass deportation yet. Right.
Right.
Your eggs and your gas and your bread and everything else is more expensive today than it was 6 weeks ago.
Well, and two, with all these job cuts, job rate in the economy is going to be going down because people don't have work. I mean,
yeah.
It's we're headed
for a recession, if not a depression.
Right. Well, one of the things too, we have a call to action, and I wonder if our listeners could get that phone number. Haley, I believe it's 1-866-426-2631. That's 1-866-426-2631. 426-2631. Leave a 30-second message, you know, and what the call could mean, the difference between families getting care they need or losing access to doctors, prescriptions, and critical support. Keep the pressure on for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Hold them accountable. Let them know that, like, you know, you vote and you're going to vote in the midterm. You voted, perhaps you voted for them this time, right? Mm-hmm. Let them know, like, you plan to change your vote if, like, these things happen. You know, this is going to impact, I don't know, I think about my whole entire family and all the people I know. I know several people here in the space where I live, Briar Lake, Shakopee area. Several mm-hmm. non-Indigenous people, you know, people that, you know, are middle class, who work for hard for their money, just like everybody else. And they will, you know, I have a couple of friends of mine who are cancer patients. And I think about, like, our inability to do things like research cancer, innovative cancer cures and those kinds of things. Like, these are things that are, we're going back in time here to the early 1900s,
right.
If not the 1800s. So,
yeah, well,
it's crazy, you know,
it is. And I appreciate you talking about this. Talk a little bit more. I know we have a short time with you today. We are with Dr. Stately, and he is the president and executive officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we're talking budget cuts and what we can do as listeners and people out there in the listening to us, what they can do. It's a call to action. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We acknowledge the courageous efforts of Dickie Chappelle. She defied expectations to become the first female war correspondent, reporting from the front lines of World War II and the Korean conflict. Editors at Life Magazine and National Geographic called the Milwaukee area woman one of the most respected reporters of her time. Chappelle was 40 years old when she took up parachuting. She then made history by becoming the first woman to be approved by the Pentagon to jump into combat with American troops. Sadly, while on assignment in Vietnam in 1965, she was killed by a landmine. She was the first correspondent, male or female, to die in action. Her fearless pursuit of truth in the face of danger remains an inspiration to us all. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Brittany Merlau.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and we're talking about these massive cuts by Medicaid, MA. We need you to call your representatives at 1-866-426-2631. And I'm calling as a constituent to urge you to fight to keep all Medicaid funding. Cuts to Medicaid would immediately hurt pregnant women, babies, children, families, and our communities. Welcome back, Dr. Stately.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I do think it's really important that we all use our voice. Creator gave us a voice for a reason. It's, you know, not just to yell at our kids. No, I'm just kidding. but to call Congress and, you know, call your senators, call your congressional representatives, and let them know your concerns. I think it's really important. I think one of the things that's profoundly interesting for me, interesting to me, is, like, you know, we're, what, 6 weeks into the new presidency, mm-hmm. thereabouts, right? And in 6 weeks, the scale of what has happened here in his administration and the impact that's having on people across the United States is really alarming. And what's remarkable is the lack of significant outrage that I'm not seeing in comparison to like the for his first term. Where we're at today is significantly much more demonstrably different than where we were 8 years ago. And I think one of the things that's concerning to me is like we need to like encourage people to stand up and speak out. You know, I read this article, I think it was in the Atlantic, might have been in the New Yorker, talked about how, you know, Hitler came into office, you know, he was voted into office through a democratic process, right? And within six weeks, and here we are, we're at 6 weeks now, within 6 weeks, he was able to dismantle that democracy and take control of the entire country. And we all know what he ended up doing, right?
Right.
And so democracy dies when people don't speak up. Democracy dies when people don't stand up.
Well, I've seen a lot of people standing up. I just think we're not seeing it on the mainstream media again. That's a big problem. Mm-hmm. That's normalized all this. I know we'll see little TikToks and little videos of maybe booing J.D. Vance, but there's stuff going on. We just aren't getting the press, I don't think.
The press is all, you know, the majority of the press, or the majority of that field is focused, you know, their leadership, of course, also very wealthy people, right? You know, people who own big, huge news corporations, you know, and such. Those folks are interested in protecting themselves, protecting their shareholders, and protecting their dividends and all those things. They're not interested in the American people, right? It's like they are, and they're all afraid of him. They're all afraid to go up against him because, you know, he's going to come after them, right? And, you know, I was born and raised in the 1960s and 70s where people were not afraid of those things.
Right.
And it's just remarkable to me that, you know, that we're at the, that we're at the place where we're at. Who was that woman that owned the Post? Not the Post, the Washington Post, that Jeff Bezos now owns, that kind of at the last minute decided not to endorse anybody, not even Kayla.
Exactly.
Like that woman who was like in a force to recognize, Meryl Streep portrayed her in a movie. Amazing woman. She went up against big, big, huge, you know, forces in her career to say like, no, this is where we stand. These are our values and we're going to print this. Right. Mm-hmm. And like, where is the backbone of these people? They have no backbone.
Exactly. And we're grateful here to be on AM 950 and then the Civic Media Network all over Wisconsin and the United States. But, you know, we've always said that when, eight companies own 95% of the media. And that's why I have issue with the mainstream media, because look what happened to MSNBC. They only have one African-American reporter and he's on, or a news person, and he's on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fake news, really. It's this comedy.
Yeah,
so all the African Americans are gone because they folded under that.
It's we're living in very troubling times, and you know, and the thing that's really, you know, I think that things get cast, like, you know, folks like Trump and like, you know, the conservative Republican Party, they cast things as, you know, they play on things that are the, you know, they feed the culture wars, make us fight against each other. They're really good at that, right? I mean, we know that as people who've been colonized for over 500 or 600 years, right? It's like, we understand the whole divide and conquer thing. Well, they're doing that to the American people. They're making, you know, this group, be afraid of that group and fight with that group, and they're flaming fears and insecurities, and they're capitalizing on it. Capitalizing in the sense that they're actually making money on it.
Right. Well, they're even if it's
stacking their bricks of gold while they're doing it.
even if everything stopped today, I'm sure they're so much more richer than they were 6 weeks ago. It's going to be mind-blowing.
Yeah, you know, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing to me, like, you know, that we're 6 weeks in, and I think, Elon Musk barely just now declared some of his conflicts, right? and those aren't even, that's just like a couple of them, but he has so many more. You know, the man has like somebody, I was like listening to somebody on the air the other day, they were like, well, he has $1 million contracts. He has multiple $1 million contracts. You know, right. SpaceX, you know, he's got like all these, you know, it's just crazy.
His satellites.
To think that like, you know, there's three or four people who are controlling, you know, all of the financial interests and all of the things that are being decided right now. And we barely hear a peep about it.
Right. Well, that's why it's important that we talk about it. I know the show before us talks about it. I know this network talks about it constantly from 8 o'clock on. And we just need to see how this last boycott on February 28th worked out and go from there, because there's a playlist of more things to do. I just hope that our Democrat relatives that are in Washington really don't work on a 3-day week and are on top of this every day, because it's coming at us every day. And so how we can support them and how we can push them, I think, is making a phone call to them.
Yeah. Calling the people that are standing up against them, encouraging them to continue to do it. Calling the representatives in your district who are voting for these things, maybe because they don't completely understand. Maybe they only, you know, I think there's just a lot of false narratives that people don't pay attention to, right? The lion's share of people who are in Medicare and Medicaid and Medicare across the country are
in the red states.
They're in the red states. It's like you voted for this man. He was going to make your life less expensive to live. He was going to ensure your well-being, and he is not doing that, and they are not doing that. And you know, I hate when I'm sold a lemon and it's told it's a watermelon. So you should hate it too. And I think that you should speak up and say so. And I think that that's kind of where we're at. It's really scary and frightening.
It is. And we appreciate you coming on and talking about this, because this is broadcast all over the world. And, you know, we're standing up, AOC standing up, Bernie standing up. We got to support these people that are not taking any crap.
No. And I'm partly saying it too, because like, you know, NAC is a federally qualified healthcare center, which is part of the system-wide network of primary care healthcare centers, community healthcare centers all across the United States. There's about 17,000 of us, 14,000, something like that. But we are the foundation of healthcare. Like, we saw this in the pandemic, right? How hard it was for you to get healthcare at your hospital, or how hard it was for you to get healthcare at these other places where you would maybe normally think that you could go get healthcare. But you know what stayed open, and just barely? Some of us closed. Some of us, like NAC, we were working. We were barely initially at the beginning until it rained money and we started getting some. We stayed open. We got vaccines to people. We got people treated for COVID and a few other things, and we kept people well. What's going to happen is Medicaid and Medicare slashes are going to harm community health centers. And many of them will close, and people will have less access to basic primary care, preventative care that keeps them well, keeps their families well, keeps them alive, and keeps them functioning and able to go to work, take care of their kids, take care of their families. And that should concern everybody, no matter what color you are, no matter whether you're blue or red, and whatever you vote, everybody should be concerned about this.
Well, Dr. Stately, big peeny geeky, thank you coming on and speaking your truth. And we need to hear that, and we need to talk about this every day on Native Roots Radio. So I appreciate you and all the work you do in the community, but also all the great work you do for us here on Native Roots Radio.
Miigwech.
Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio, Haley.
Ho-wa. Stay with us. Ho-wa.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief, CBS News has obtained a Homeland Security bulletin that warns about possible attacks on the country's energy infrastructure.
There are a range of threats that are listed in this bulletin, including cyber criminals with ransomware attacks and state actors.
CBS's Nicole Skenga. Some students at Columbia University disagree with their school's decision to change its protest policies and security practices under pressure from the Trump administration.
It's never the place of the government to do these things.
The administration said it would withhold $400 million in federal grants and contracts if Columbia didn't make the changes it demanded. He was perhaps best known for his grills, but he was a formidable force in the boxing ring, too. CBS's Wendy Gillette says George Foreman has died.
His family announcing his death on social media with an emotional tribute, saying he lived his life marked by unwavering faith, humility, and purpose.
George Foreman was 76. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Badgers basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's Wisconsin against the Brigham Young Cougars. Tonight in the NCAA basketball tournament, Badgers head coach Greg Gard asked what team in the Big Ten reminds him of BYU.
Ourselves, for one. Illinois, a little bit. Illinois shoots a lot of threes. I think BYU may have even more shooters than Illinois. Obviously, for any team that's playing right now is really good.
The tip-off at 6:25. Marquette's season is over. The Golden Eagles lost to New Mexico by 9, 75-66. Head coach Shaka Smart on letting the game slip away.
When we took the lead in the second half, we could really feel a level of momentum. We weren't able to win that next swing minute and just some mistakes that cost us on both ends of the floor.
In hockey, the Wisconsin Badgers women's hockey team skated to a 6-2 win over Minnesota last night. They'll face Ohio State tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock for the national championship in Minneapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice start to the weekend. A bit of a different finish, though. Mostly sunny today with highs in the mid-30s. For tonight, increasing clouds, lows in the upper 20s. Becoming breezy on Sunday with rain developing, possibly mixed with some snow in the morning. High temperatures in the upper 40s. Right now, it's 30.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A Washington state audit of rejected 2020 mail-in ballots offers insight on whose ballots are more likely to be rejected and recommends actions to reduce that number, over 37,000 in 2024. Primary reasons for rejection include ballots received or postmarked after Election Day, a missing signature on a ballot envelope, or the voter's signature couldn't be confirmed. Auditors found 2020 rates varied from a high of 1.5% in Franklin County to 0.02% in Columbia County, but they also found higher rejections of younger voters, 18 to 21, where 2.6% of ballots were rejected, and black voters at 2.5%. They also found that non-native English speakers were 47% more likely to have ballots rejected. Signature issues can often be cured, but many voters don't or can't correct it. The auditors recommended outreach programs on college campuses, sending letters and calling voters with curable signature issues, more training on signature verification, opening early voting centers 18 days before the election, an advisory committee for disabled voters, and ballot drop boxes for every 15,000 voters. In the 2024 general election, Washington's statewide rejection rate had dropped to 0.94%, but of those, over 24,000 were rejected for a mismatched signature. Find a link to the audit at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
More farm-related programs being canceled. Those affect more than $1 billion in purchasing local food from farmers for food banks.
These types of programs, it gets high-quality food to people who need it at an affordable price. It's a win-win-win, and it's just a really good investment in these rural economies.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to the economics department chair at UW-Eau Claire about the hit Wisconsin's going to take in Donald Trump's trade war.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha! Wicha!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, really excited to have this artist on, Jennifer White. Jennifer White's owner of Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And we just had an art show up here in the Twin Cities, and I was able to get in there and see. Haley met you. So a big peeny geeky, thank you so much for coming on.
Of course. I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Right on. Hey, talk a little bit about the beginning of your career here. I see that you started in 2010.
Yeah, well, it started out pretty bare bone. Didn't have a whole lot of fat to work with. Painting has always been a passion, and it's kind of strange, but over the years, working with all of these phenomenal artists and organizations, it's not only improved like my work, but it's improved who I am as a human being and my consciousness into the pride I have for being a Native woman is just, it gets stronger every day. I'm honored and privileged to be able to do what I do.
Well, we're really honored to have you on, and your art is very recognizable, and that's a really good thing, because it's like, that is something, you know, I'd like to have on my wall. I know, Haley, you got to meet her. It was amazing for the opening at All My Relations Art Gallery.
Yeah, I think I got a little preview sneak peek for the Native media that was there that showed up, and got to talk with Jennifer for a bit. And I think we really hit it off. I think we had a lot of good laughs together, and we were talking about your art, and I think it was just so beautiful. I like to go to a lot of the exhibits at All My Relations, and yours really stuck out to me. I would just say because you really portray a lot of Native women portraits in your work, and I've talked to you too about how it's been kind of like a self identity thing too, that you see through in your work. You kind of see some of yourself too, but I love the bright colors too. There's a lot of positivity that shows through in your work.
Thanks. Well, working painting women, it's Frida Kahlo said it best, like, are these all self portraits? I get that question quite a bit. The only reason why that is because I see my face every day, and I know it better than anything in the whole wide world. So if it is me, it is me. But at the same time, the paintings that I do, I paint every day, and my mood, especially now with what's going on with this Joker in office right now, my work has been lit. Like, it's all about empowerment. It's about the distress cry of American Indian people and how we are not being heard or being seen. And once again, our culture is being crushed by these people that don't take the time to understand who we are. So it's my obligation and my duty and my work to recreate who we are as people's perception of Indian people. And it gets rough, it gets kind of mean sometimes, but at the same time, I really feel as though now is the time for the cry of the women, the cry of the men, these strong, powerful, influential Native people to speak up and be present and be heard. It's our time. It is our time to be lit. It is our time to be set on fire, man.
Right on. And that shows in your work, and it's going to show more in your work. I really love how you said that. You know, I'm wondering, you know, we were talking about this. My wife paints in acrylics too. That's hard because of the layering you have to do. Is that right?
That's the best part, man. Oil's so slow, and it stinks, you know, and it's hard to get off your hands. But like with acrylic, you can really beat it up. You can layer it. You can water it down. You can keep it full blast color. You can cut into it, and it dries so quickly. I appreciate acrylic. Watercolor's a little fussy as well. I'm not into it. One thing I would like to try is sculpting with clay and then bronzing it. But that's, you know, when I'm an old lady, I'll try that.
Got to try them all.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Well, Haley paints in watercolors, so there is a big
that's
difference,
bossy.
Right, Haley?
That's difficult.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Watercolor, yeah. I'm always like, you can't make mistakes because the water's going to do its own thing. But I like to work
it's
with
really
water too because
forgiven.
Water's life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. That one, Mini Tony there.
Yeah, Mini
there, Haley.
That's great.
So how can people, because again, we're all over the country and on 30 stations in Wisconsin, in the Twin Cities, Michigan, Illinois, we should name them off someday when we start out the show, but how can people see your work via internet, or do you have a Facebook or an Instagram?
Oh yeah. Well, I have a Facebook that's exclusive. I update that daily. I'm on Instagram, but I'm an old lady. I'm not really into it. It's not my forte. Word of mouth is by far my most powerful advertising agent. I believe bad news spreads quickly, but good news goes to the right ears. So I don't do a whole lot of advertising. Word of mouth is very, very, very important to me. And if you own my work, you've probably met me, and I appreciate that kind of gatekeeping on my part. I don't want to be a whore with my work. I want to know who I'm selling to.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I got to say this too. I've always wanted to start a business, offshoot business called Burning Wagons Logistics or something. But I really like your Post Pilgrim name. Tell us how that came about.
We're still here. You didn't get rid of us. I like it because it's tongue-in-cheek. I'm from South Dakota, so it's kind of like cowboy country. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a little bit boss hog in the way that, you know, don't fuss around with me, man. Like, I'm a proud Indian girl, and we're going to be here for a while. And my blood with my children will be here for a while, and I have two painters. My girls are painters and they're fabulous. They're award-winning as well, but like, they're going to be here well after I'm done. And I hope I have grandchildren that can do this. There's a little bit of nepotism involved, but like, man, I earned it. I can do that. And I think we should all strive for that as a people. We need to build our own businesses. We need to make them sustainable, and we need to make them with purpose. And we need to be able to bridge that gap between native and non-native, because in that fluffy area, everybody gets to be seen and everybody gets to be heard. Having a foothold in each of those worlds helps me creatively, and it helps me in my business, but it also allows me to weed out a bunch of suckers that shouldn't be looking at my work, both Indian and non.
Wow, good words. And just truth be told, Haley's my chujunk. She's my niece, so we're keeping.
Oh, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Hey. You get it.
That kind of leads into my next question. So you talked about your kids, and hopefully you have some talented artistic grandkids as well. Do you have like your older generations or anyone that you looked up to that kind of made you into the artist that you are now?
Oh, absolutely. Well, my grandmother is a big one. She was a quilter, but she was a little teeny tiny, horribly bossy, spooky, a Rick of Rob woman. She was tiny, but man, when she talked, you listened. I am honored to be able to learn from her and my aunts on how to hold your space and walk into a room with confidence and self-assurance that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. And then on the flip, so the male energy that I got growing up was from my gay uncle, and he's a raging homo. I love him with all my heart. I mean, we grew up listening to opera, tea parties, and I got to see my uncle fight for his space in a completely different way as a homosexual man. Mm-hmm. And that kind of bravery, that empowerment, like that sunk into my skin, man. That kind of confidence was osmosis. It went straight from him right into my heart. And then learning how to kind of navigate my way on how people looked at my family, being Native, being queer, just being different. I got to observe like the kind of way I wanted to present myself to the world. And it was a true, honest gift to grow up almost exclusively non-Native community, because I got to be behind the lines. I got to know how these guys think. And it's very powerful to be able to navigate through those worlds together. As I was saying earlier, it shows in my work all the time, but I'm married to a white boy, you know, and I love him with all my heart. He's a big, tall Norwegian drink of water. And I have so much pride in him for being able to give me my room to do what I do and just be there to support what I do as a woman and as an Indian. And he is also teaching the community how to behave as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a powerful thing, and I'm very honored, and I'm very, very, very blessed with the family and people I have around me.
Wow, right on. Haley, did you have another question?
No, I think I was able to meet your husband actually at the gallery exhibit. I think you had your whole family come from out of town, and they were helping pull in pieces. And they were very supportive. I know we have a minute left here, but coming up in the next segment, I would love to talk a little bit more about your gallery and everything going on at Post Pilgrim.
Absolutely.
Wow, this is awesome, Haley. What a great guest. Hey, we're going to be right back. This is Native Roots Radio, and I love Post Pilgrim Gallery. I love that. Right next to Burning Wagon Soda Shop. Oh, wow. We'll be right back after this important message.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Hey, Jennifer. Hey, we have Jennifer White, our painter and owner of Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Hey, let's talk a little bit, like Haley said, let's talk a little bit about your gallery and how people driving through Sioux Falls can find it.
All right. Well, I'm super snobby. I'm only open by appointment. I'm kind of a bum, but I'm not really a bum. I work every day. It's just some days I want to work, you know, and it requires a lot, you know. I just want to be in the zone when I'm working. But otherwise, reach out to me on Facebook. My phone number's on there, and like, just give me a call. And if there's something that you see, just reach out to me. But I had my first show at this joint. It's called Last Stop CD Shop. And this cat named Brian and his wife Janine on it. And about 15 years ago, they gave me a show there. And like, man, I sold work for the first time, and I was addicted, dude. I was like, this is the best drug I've ever done. And so, I was like, man, I'm gonna see if I can do this. I'm gonna see if I can do this for a living. And so I got into a gallery, and it was pretty fabulous. I noticed that when you put your career as an artist into the hands of other people, they want to take part in your success. They want to keep a part of it for themselves. Like, your success is their, you know, to their credit. Mm-hmm. That didn't sit right with me. And so I went to these cats years later after my first show there, and I asked if they'd be interested in financing a gallery for me, and they did, and it's wild. And this is what I tell everybody I meet: don't be afraid to ask, because what the only answer you're gonna get that would be bad would be no. But you're no worse off than when you started. Sometimes it takes a little bit of bravery to be told the word no, and to be quite frank, I'm not scared of it anymore. Right. So, like, we've been working on this for about 8 years now, and we used to bring in guest artists once a month. We'd do Final Friday, but then COVID hit, and traveling was not as cool as it once was, and my daughter also got diagnosed with cancer at that time, so we had to be super careful about, like, spreading germs. And South Dakota was very open, you know, it kept a lot of the doors open. A lot of people were still able to make money and live as usual. Granted, we died most per capita in the entire country, but yeah, thanks, Christina. That was super cool. Anyway, so after that kind of shut down, I closed up our main gallery and moved into a studio. And it was kind of a pivot for me in my career to be able to just represent me and my daughters, opposed to bringing in people to represent. I get a focus on our careers, and they get to know us as a unit. And it's very nice being in business with these women that aren't afraid to ask questions. They want to learn the game, and they also want to be the best painters that they can be. And if that's what their dad and I can instill in them as young women, to be empowered, we're going to keep going forward with that notion.
Are you left-handed or right-handed?
I'm ambidextrous.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So yeah. I had really bad tennis elbow about a year ago, so I taught myself how to paint with my left hand.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nuts. But, like, I've always, like, shot pool and bowled with my left hand. So it's always been an ability, but, like, dude, you know, it's cool to be able to do both.
Wait a minute. You bowled left-handed?
Yeah, it's weird, right?
That's awesome.
Man, and when I was pregnant, I was a hella good bowler. I don't know.
Oh,
it was
my
weird.
Goodness.
I don't know. I was pregnant a lot. I have six kids, so it's like, yeah, we had some bowling time in.
Well, when you were pregnant, you were bowling for two, so that's probably why you were twice as good.
Yeah, I had some extra energy, some good juju with me on that one, you bet.
That's crazy.
But the gallery is doing well, and it's really groovy. I'm going to tell you a story real quick. There's a law firm here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and you know, it's cool, but my audience is, it's interesting. Of all shapes, creeds, colors, and demographic. It's awesome. But it was a law firm, and they asked me to do a series for them. And I painted this glorious war pony. And throughout the entire piece, the American flag was represented upside down. It's hardcore Indian. It's hardcore, yeah. Like, pay attention, listen. And it's in a prominent attorney's office here in Sioux Falls. So, like, I really enjoy being Native, and when other people see that, other Natives see it, they'll know, you know?
Yeah,
it's kind of an unspoken language that we have. But if you know, you know.
That's right. Yeah. We got the distressed American flag upside down for sure.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we've been in distress for 500 years, so
amen. Amen. I hear that. And to kind of tag onto that, I hope what we do at Post Pilgrim, I hope it enlightens non-Native people as to who we really are. Sometimes I call it the unicorn effect, that people expect certain things out of Indian people that they wouldn't expect out of, say, meeting like a Japanese or, you know, a French person, where somehow we have magical powers. But the real power is that we love our families and we come from this earth and our belly buttons are attached to this land, and you couldn't tear us away from it if you tried. And to be able to explain that with love and pride and passion, oof, that's what we want to grow at Post Pilgrim. That is what we want to sow at Post Pilgrim.
That's beautiful. And we have one of our listeners, Santina, that is listening every day, and she said, bring Jay back on the show more often. And I vote yes, too.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, you have to haul with us next time.
There we go.
I got a quick question. We only got a couple minutes left. Sure. Haley, do you have one of those paintings put up again real quick? The one on the left-hand side, I don't know if you can see it. It's a pretty big picture of, it looks like two women, and one's kind of, their eyes are looking different ways than their head. How long? And it's a big painting. How long did it take you to do something, a painting like that?
Oh, I'm super manic. So I'll work on a new idea on the same piece of canvas for like days. But then once I have that new idea figured out and I know it upside down, inside out, I'll knock out maybe two or three pieces in a week. I love painting. There is nothing that challenges me more. There's nothing that brings me more joy than figuring out how to become a better painter. And some of these intellectual painters, pish posh, you know, like, you'll never be, you, there's no such thing as becoming a better painter. Hell yeah, there is. I think there is. I love painting. And it's truly like reading a book. Like, once you read a book, you realize you have a million more books you need to read. That's what painting is like.
Well, Jay White, Jennifer White, we are just so happy to have you on. You're owner of Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And what a great person you are, and we'd love to have you on again.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love it.
Right on. And then you can tell us what kind of cigarettes you smoke then next time. Oh, wow.
Virginia Super Slim, bro. That's anti-smoke. That's anti-smoke for sure, bro.
That's right. That is.
Hey,
right on. Thank you, Jay White. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. We're still here. Yeah. We are the seventh generation.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, will discuss the threats posed to Social Security by the Trump administration. Does calling about missing Social Security payments make you a fraudster? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Christopher Cruz. London's Heathrow Airport, one of the world's busiest, is now fully operational, according to officials there. The airport was without power for most of Friday, causing cancellations and chaos. CBS's Lee Kinnear is at Heathrow.
Europe's busiest tarmacs are back in business.
Flames are getting higher.
After the spectacular fire at an electrical substation nearby Thursday night caused a power cut to Heathrow Airport and over 16,000 homes in the area. The transport hub shut down for over 16 hours. The ripple effect immediate and global.
President Trump continues to attack a federal judge. CBS's Nicole Skenga is traveling with the president in New Jersey.
Presiding over the landmark case, federal judge James Boasberg. In court yesterday, the federal judge rebuked the administration for ignoring his order to turn the planes around 1 week ago, mid-flight, until he could review their cases. And accused Deputy Assistant Attorney General Drew Ensign of using disrespectful language and missing deadlines.
The administration says it will revoke the temporary status of 532